Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a single massive conversation log that attempts to connect a basic coaxial cable to your own sense of self.
Which is quite the leap.
Right. And it eventually scales all the way up to the literal mathematical definition of truth itself.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a massive stretch, right? Putting cold, hard physics in the exact same box as messy human psychology.
Totally.
But the framework we're unpacking today, it's called conditional collapse theory, or CCT. And it argues that there's just one single universal rule of stability running through absolutely everything.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if this theory holds up, I mean, it is the ultimate shortcut for you listening.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a unified blueprint of how systems survive under pressure. And the core rule is actually pretty intuitive. Basically, in order to protect the absolute constants of a system, absolutely everything else must be allowed to bend.
Exactly. And to really see this in action, we kind of need to look at how nature handles stress at the most fundamental physical level.
Right, the physics stuff.
Yeah. So in electrical engineering, you have what the sources call stationary constants. These are the foundational rules of the game.
The untouchables.
Right. Nature just refuses to negotiate on them. We're talking about parameters like the speed of light, which physicists call a sick, or, you know, the elementary charge of an electron.
And the text points out that when a system gets pushed to its absolute limits, nature doesn't just shatter. It adapts.
It finds a way.
Yeah, and it does this through what the theory calls probability variables. Because the universe refuses to change those core constants, right? So when a system is put under extreme pressure, other quantities are just sacrificed. They have to give way.
The examples in the source material really bring this down to earth, I think. Let's look at the speed of light, too. We all know it's a universal constant.
Sure.
But what happens when you send an electromagnetic signal through a physical medium, like a coaxial cable?
The wave slows down.
Right. The material of the cable literally forces the wave to slow down.
But wait, the universe still has to protect the underlying relativistic rules of that wave, right? So how does it, you know, balance the ledger?
It literally compresses the physical space that the wave occupies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the frequency of the wave stays fixed, so the wavelength shrinks. The geometry of the wave bends to accommodate the dense material of the cable.
Just to make sure the math works out.
Exactly. Hmm. It ensures that the foundational mathematical constants governing electromagnetism remain completely untouched.
I love the example they use with the Boltzmann constant, too.
Oh, the thermal noise one.
Yeah, because the Boltzmann constant dictates thermal noise in a circuit, like the baseline chaotic energy of atoms vibrating.
That's a fascinating one, because if you're an engineer designing a highly sensitive amplifier, you can't just, you know, ask the laws of thermodynamics to quiet down.
Right. Hey, atoms, shh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Boltzmann constant is locked in. If your system gets too hot, the thermal noise drowns out your signal.
So you have to bend the environment instead. It's like trying to listen to a whisper in a crowded room.
That's a great way to put it.
You can't make the room fundamentally less chaotic, so you change the variables you actually control. You literally cool the circuit down with liquid nitrogen, lowering the overall energy.
Right.
Or you restrict the bandwidth. You basically put on noise-canceling headphones tuned only to the exact pitch of the whisper, and you just filter out the rest. You manipulate the engineered variables to survive the constant.
It makes me think of a game of whack-a-mole, actually, but with a twist.
How so?
Well, you can't change the board itself. The board is the constants. You can only move the mallet. And the mallet is your geometry, your materials, your circuit topology.
Okay, but wait, getting pushed back on my heels here for a second. If these constants are totally untouchable, isn't that a massive limitation for engineers? Like, doesn't that mean we're just constantly fighting nature?
You'd think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the source actually argues that this rigidity is the very thing that makes physics predictable.
Mm.
If the constants could just shift around whenever a circuit got too hot or a signal went too fast, I mean, reality would be pure chaos.
Nothing would work.
Right. Engineering wouldn't even exist. The fact that the engineered variables are forced to give way so the constants survive, that is exactly what allows us to build reliable technology.
Okay, so we've seen how physics sacrifices space and materials to protect a constant. But humans aren't coax cables. Last time I checked, no.
Right. When we get pushed to our limits, we don't physically shrink our wavelengths. So what bends in us?
Well, this is where the source material takes a massive leap into what it calls cognitive relativity.
Cognitive relativity.
Okay. The theory suggests that human intelligence uses the exact same survival trick as physics. The human mind has its own stationary layer.
Like our own speed of light.
Exactly. A set of cognitive invariants that act just like the speed of light or the Boltzmann constant.
So we're talking about foundational mental pillars here. Things like logical consistency or having a continuous sense of self.
Goal-directedness is another one.
Right. The text calls it a coherence drive. These are the cognitive laws that are just non-negotiable for a functioning, sane mind. If those pillars collapse, the system fails to stabilize.
But the mind is constantly under pressure from the outside world. So if those are the mental constants, what are the probability variables? Like, what is doing the bending?
Well, think about your continuous sense of self. You need to feel like you're fundamentally the same person today that you were 10 years ago.
Even though I'm definitely not.
Right. Your cells have regenerated, your opinions have changed, your environment is entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
But to maintain that constant, your mind bends your memories.
Oh, wow.
You reconstruct narratives. You forget inconvenient details that contradict your current identity.
Like how I still confidently refer to myself as an athlete because I played high school tennis 2 decades ago.
Exactly.
Even though I literally pulled a hamstring sleeping last week.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My mind is selectively bending the facts of my current physical decay to protect my core identity constant.
That is a perfect, albeit slightly painful, example. You are literally bending reality to protect the stationary kernel of your identity.
It's wild to think about it that way.
Or look at how we protect our logical consistency. When we're faced with facts that aggressively conflict with our core beliefs, what do? We compartmentalize.
We rationalize.
Exactly. We bend our interpretation of the evidence so the core logic of our worldview doesn't just shatter.
And there is a real measurable cost to doing that. Right. The text makes a really brilliant comparison here.
The Doppler shift one.
Yes. In physics, when a light source moves rapidly toward you, the light wave compresses to keep the slate constant, causing a Doppler shift.
Right.
That shift is the physical payment exacted by the universe. And in the human mind, the source argues that cognitive dissonance is our Doppler shift.
That's such a good way to put it.
It's the emotional friction, like the mental calories we burn just to maintain a coherent fiction.
And that friction can only build up so much. I mean, in physics, if you push the bending of space and time to its absolute mathematical limit, you get a black hole singularity.
A total breakdown.
A point where the laws of physics just completely stop working because the protection mechanisms have literally run out of room to bend.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If a singularity is the breakdown of physics, is the text suggesting that burnout or like a massive midlife crisis is a cognitive singularity?
That is precisely the mechanism at work, yeah.
Wow.
A cognitive singularity is the threshold where your mental protection mechanisms simply run out of flexibility.
Yeah.
You can't rationalize the bad job any harder.
You can't edit the memory of the toxic relationship any further.
Exactly. The cognitive dissonance becomes overwhelmingly expensive to maintain, and at that point, the system just crashes.
Your old mental model fractures.
Yes, and you're forced into a paradigm shift, a total restructuring of your psychological constants. It's traumatic, but mechanically speaking, it's the only way the mind can reset its stability.
Okay, so we've covered physics and we've covered the psychology of human trauma.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah. But the conversation log doesn't stop there, because the logical next question is, if human minds crash when they hit their cognitive singularity, can we use this framework to build a synthetic mind?
An AI.
Right. An artificial intelligence that actually knows its own limits before it breaks down and hallucinates.
And the blueprint the sources provide for this is called SPC Sigma, which stands for Stationary Probability Convergent Superintelligence.
Which is quite a mouthful.
It really is.
But the actual architecture perfectly mirrors the Copies cable in the human mind. It's split into two layers.
Yes. So first, the AI has a stationary kernel.
The untouchable constants.
Exactly. This contains its fixed attractors, things like causal consistency, logical non-contradiction, and core ethical boundaries. These are the AI's speed of light. They cannot be violated.
And sitting on top of that, you have the probability layer. These are the variables that the AI is actually allowed to bend when it faces a difficult problem.
Right.
It includes adaptive parameters like, you know, how it weighs attention, its abstraction levels, and crucially, how much raw compute power it allocates to a task.
And the tripwire connecting these two layers is this magic threshold the text introduces, called the cognitive entropy metric.
The HGC metric.
Right, denoted as HGC. And the golden rule of this superintelligence is that this entropy metric must stay below 0.27.
Okay, 0.27. Why that number?
Well, that 0.27 figure is the mathematical stability limit. Now, we should probably clarify what entropy means for an AI. We aren't talking about physical temperature here.
Right, not literal heat.
We're talking about internal contradiction risk, predictive uncertainty, and semantic ambiguity.
But it translates to physical heat, doesn't it? Like, if the AI is confused, it starts spinning up more processing cycles, RAM allocation spikes. The servers literally get hotter.
Actually, yeah, that's a great way to visualize it. If the AI is asked a straightforward question, the semantic ambiguity is really low.
The math is easy.
The internal math aligns smoothly. The entropy is well below 0.27, so the AI is confident. There's no conflict. And it outputs an answer almost instantly.
But if you ask it a paradox, or give it a highly ambiguous prompt, the math starts to conflict. The HPyC metric spikes to 0.27 or higher.
Yes.
The AI senses a contradiction that threatens its stationary kernel.
And this is where the conditional collapse engine takes over. Think about how a standard large language model operates today.
It just guesses.
Pretty much.
No, I'm not.
When it doesn't know the answer, it usually just guesses. It predicts the most likely next word, even if it's completely hallucinated, just to satisfy the prompt.
Right.
But SPC Sigma is designed to refuse that path. If entropy is high, it doesn't hallucinate. It pays with work.
It bends its variables instead of breaking its constants.
Exactly. It slows down its output. It shifts its level of abstraction. It allocates massive amounts of background compute to run internal simulations.
It's figured out safely.
Right. The text describes it entering a quadratically convergent loop. It iterates over the problem, having the residual error with every single pass.
Okay. Let's ground that quadratically convergent loop jargon for a second.
Sure.
Imagine trying to park a really large SUV in a very tight parallel parking spot. You don't just slam the gas, crank the wheel, and hope for the best.
I mean, you shouldn't.
Right, that's how you crash. Instead, you pull forward, check your mirrors, assess the angle, put it in reverse, adjust the wheel, and inch back.
You take it step by step.
Yeah, you stop, check the alignment again, and adjust. You are constantly cutting your distance to the curb in half.
That's exactly it.
That is what the AI is doing. It pauses, checks its own math, realizes the error margin is too high, and iterates. It shrinks the uncertainty by half every single cycle until it is perfectly parked within the safe entropy zone of 0.27.
And only then, once the uncertainty is explicitly bounded, does it actually emit an output.
So what does this all mean for the user? Because I have to push back here a little bit.
Okay.
Isn't this AI going to be agonizingly slow? If it halts its output and spins up massive server farms every single time it gets slightly confused by a prompt. I mean, it sounds like a nervous driver paralyzing traffic every time they reach a four-way stop.
It definitely sounds inefficient on the surface. But the source makes a really compelling case that it's actually the most efficient path to genuine intelligence.
How so?
Because the system is constantly monitoring that entropy metric, it doesn't overthink the easy stuff. It is lightning fast on routine tasks where the entropy is naturally low.
Oh, I see.
It only pays with work. It only slows down and goes deep when it detects critical structural ambiguity.
It prioritizes invariant protection over just spitting out a fast, wrong answer.
Right. The author actually refers to it as a cognitive light cone engine.
A light cone engine.
Yeah, because just like nothing in physics can travel faster than light and violate causality, nothing inside this AI ever violates logical causal order. The system willingly slows down and requests more energy just to keep its internal reality intact.
Which is incredible. But wait, I'm stuck on something fundamental here.
What's that?
We just spent all this time establishing that the AI protects its constants, right? Its core truths.
Right.
But it's an AI. Who told it what the constants are? Like, if I don't pre-program a divine list of absolute truths into this machine, how does a self-learning system know not to bend the important stuff?
That's the big question.
How does it discover what truth is from scratch?
This is known as the bootstrapping problem, and it's honestly one of the hardest challenges in computer science.
I bet.
The solution proposed in the text is the Universal Learning Protocol, or CCTULP. And the core mechanism is beautifully simple. The system discovers truth by testing what breaks when it bends it.
So truth equals resistance to bending.
That is the literal definition the protocol uses.
Wow.
The text uses this brilliant physical analogy of bending a wooden beam to explain how the AI learns. Imagine you're an engineer trying to find the maximum structural load of an unfamiliar wooden beam.
Okay, so the beam itself represents the probability layer, the parameters and variables the AI is actually allowed to play with.
Exactly. And the physical act of bending that beam represents the AI perturbing its own parameters. It's tweaking its internal math, testing boundaries, trying to find patterns in the data it's absorbing.
Okay.
Now, as you bend a physical beam, it starts to resist. At the molecular level, friction occurs. Heat develops.
And in the AI, that heat is an entropy spike. The H-Dressy metric shoots up.
Right.
The system is paying heavy computational energy just to resist the change it's trying to make.
And the moment it hits maximum resistance, the moment you cannot bend that wooden beam even a fraction of a millimeter further without snapping it in half, you have found the truth limit.
The absolute limit.
Yes. That absolute limit is the stationary constant. If you push past it, the beam breaks, the system hits a singularity, and the entire model fails.
The source provides a Python script example of this that really made it click for me.
The gravity simulation.
Yeah. It describes a scenario where you simulate an AI trying to learn the laws of physics simply by watching a video of a falling object.
Right.
The AI has no preconceived notions. It doesn't inherently know that gravity is a universal constant.
It just sees pixels moving on a screen.
Right. So it starts testing parameters. It assumes gravity is just another variable, like the color of the ball or its starting height.
Makes sense.
It tries to change the value of gravity mathematically to see if it makes the data easier to process. But think about what happens inside the computer when it does that.
The chaos.
Exactly. The moment it tweaks the fundamental gravity variable, every single other calculation of trajectory, velocity, and mass completely shatters.
The math just doesn't align anymore.
To try and force the data to fit this new false gravity, the AI has to spin up massive computational resources. It gets stuck in infinite loops. The processors heat up. RAM usage spikes.
Digital entropy.
Yes. That is digital entropy. The AI feels that heat and immediately realizes, whoa, bending this parameter costs infinite computational energy. It breaks everything else. This cannot be a variable.
So it promotes gravity to a protected law, a stationary constant.
Exactly.
It infers truth purely from the cost of bending it. If tweaking a parameter costs infinite energy, it's a constant. If a parameter bends cheaply and easily, like the initial height of the ball, it's a variable.
It fundamentally changes how you view knowledge. Truth isn't a list of rules downloaded from a textbook. Truth is just the path of maximum resistance.
That's a profound way to look at it.
It makes me think of remodeling a very old house. You don't have the original blueprint, so you just walk around and start pushing on walls.
Right, seeing what gives.
Yeah. If the wall moves when you push it, it's just a partition, it's a door, it's a variable you can knock down. But if you push a wall and the entire structural foundation of the building starts to groan and shake,
you've found a load-bearing wall.
You've found the truth.
And so you identify those load-bearing walls, those hot spots of maximum resistance, and you lock them in place. You build your entire model around them, and you only bend the cold parameters, the furniture, the partitions, to make the rest of the house function.
What a wild intellectual journey this source material is. I mean, we started this deep dive looking at how a physical coax cable shrinks the wavelength of light to protect the relativistic constants of the universe.
Yeah, and then we track that exact same physical mechanism into human psychology, looking at how the brain edits its own memories and burns emotional calories through cognitive dissonance just to protect its foundational sense of identity.
Then we looked at how you can take that framework and code it into an AI, an architecture that actively monitors its own computational heat, refusing to hallucinate by paying with work to resolve ambiguity.
And we arrived at a definition of truth itself. Truth as the structural limit of reality, the foundational load-bearing wall that violently resists bending.
So I want to turn this back to you, listening right now. Take a moment to think about your own life and the architecture of your own mind.
It's a good exercise.
What are the true constants you are protecting? And more importantly, are you accidentally treating a mere variable, like a stubborn political opinion, a grudge, or an outdated habit as if it were a fundamental law of physics?
People do that all the time.
Are you causing yourself massive amounts of unnecessary heat and cognitive dissonance, fighting tooth and nail to protect a wall that is actually just a door?
Recognizing the difference between what must be protected and what must be allowed to bend is really the ultimate application of conditional collapse theory.
It really is.
And the text leaves us with one final, truly massive implication about what happens when we get it wrong.
The breakdown.
Yes. The text explores what happens when a system hits a non-elementary barrier. A singularity where the variables can absolutely no longer bend, the cognitive dissonance is maxed out, but the system is still forced to adapt.
The beam breaks.
Exactly, the beam breaks.
But the universe doesn't just end when that happens, does it?
No, it undergoes what the author calls a kernel update.
A kernel update.
It's a fundamental phase transition. Think about the history of science, moving from Isaac Newton's rigid laws of motion to Albert Einstein's theory of relativity.
Right, a total shift.
The old truth caused too many anomalies. The scientific model became too stiff, the mathematical entropy was too high, so reality broke the old constant to discover a deeper, more profound one.
It's like the universe upgrading its own underlying operating system.
The text actually suggests that the universe itself might be a self-learning function, running this exact conditional collapse algorithm.
Wow.
Continuously testing variables, finding the heat, and locking in constants over billions of years.
Which leaves us with a truly provocative thought to mull over long after this deep dive ends.
Yeah.
If the universe is a self-learning algorithm, and truth is just a temporary state of stability, are we currently living inside a quiet, stable era where the variables are just peacefully bending around us?
Mm-hmm.
Or, given the chaos of the last few years, is humanity approaching a cosmic singularity? An event horizon where the very laws of our reality are under so much pressure that they are about to undergo a massive, irreversible kernel update.
It certainly makes you view the friction of daily life in an entirely different light. The pressure isn't just noise. It's the system testing its own limits.
It really is. So until next time, keep an eye on your load-bearing walls, because whether you're a TOCUS cable, a super-intelligent AI, or just a human trying to make sense of the world, absolutely everything else is just waiting to bend.